law.com. They schedule or they sponsor our phone lines here at 654-ROAR. So with Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines, and if you need help in the upstate, do that with the good folks over there at Pratt Injury Lawyers. 864-LAW.com. Easy to find, 864-LAW.com. Easy to find Paul Streeler right now because it's daily, multi-times a day, articles about Clemson football and TigerIllustrated.com. And this time next week, Paul, we'll be on a practice field, and you'll take that long camera lens out there, and you'll turn into some sort of award-winning photographer. Running around, are you in shape now? You got your two-a-days, you got your hydrated yet? You ready for it?
We've been going through off-season training.
Good.
Yes, it won't make me any better photographer, but I look better huffing and puffing around.
Do you have a list going in? I need to get this player, this coach, this thing. Is that going into it? You know it, or is it a little bit of fluid reaction time in there too?
Oh, I mean, I think there are guys that I know that I need to improve the catalog of photos on, guys I know I'll be writing about. But then also, I mean, you do have to kind of adjust on based on what drills they're doing and what kind of access you have. And that can all kind of change based on weather conditions and whatnot. So you have to be able to respond to changes. But I've got an idea usually of at least a theme of the guys I'm going for.
Recruiting wise, it's coming down now as practice starts. You want to get all this behind you. Seth Williams is going back and forth, and we are approaching some sort of decision in the next couple of years with this guy.
Yes, Seth Williams, the safety out of Atlanta, should be announcing his decision Friday afternoon. You know, it has been a Georgia Clemson for a while. And you know, I think it has played out kind of how we anticipated. You don't know as you're recruiting, and there have been times, really within the last month, that there have been indications that Clemson, you know, legitimately had the edge. I think Georgia's the school kind of training there down the stretch, and I don't think that was necessarily unpredictable based on how this has unfolded and the timing. And Georgia's safety commitments, or the ones they got, the ones they didn't 2 weeks ago, kind of triggering a push to the finish line here. But, you know, I think more adds up in Georgia's favor here and as we get about, you know, 36 hours out. But I don't know that any school has been informed of that decision, but I think that's the way it's trending at the moment.
We talk about fluid all the time. Does that open up a spot now? Was that an oversign? Can things happen, or is this done at safety after this one?
I think Clemson is done at safety after this. You know, I think when getting Jarrell Chandler was a big box check for them, and partly why they got that business done so quickly, before official visits there late in the spring. Add him to Harrison Luke, who, you know, has been bumped to 4-star within our network. But I think Clemson, in its mind, you know, met the quota it was looking for of getting two good ones. And if they could keep or bring back Seth Williams, they would, because they like him as a prospect. But numbers-wise, you know, if he decides to go elsewhere, you know, as circumstances stand, they do not intend to go for another safety.
You've written a ton of articles as of late about the next piece of the next class. Maybe not the next piece, but an important piece of the next class in quarterback. Mm-hmm. And it's been a very interesting follow. And I'll let you kind of summarize where things stand now with the next quarterback class.
Absolutely. Trace Hawkins, Calhoun, Georgia, a quarterback, announces his college choice on Thursday. I mean, depending on how big the picture you want me to paint, Clemson had made its two offers a couple weeks after camp, as it tends to be its inclination. You know, they offered Trace Hawkins and they offered Trey Wright out of Texas. And really, you know, I think two very different types of quarterbacks. And I think for a while, you know, if you look at Clemson's background, the last three summers, they've gotten their quarterback by July 10th. Now, the first one, Blake Hebert, ended up decommitting later. But Clemson wants to get things done early, get that foundational piece in, as well as kind of, you know, get ahead of the quarterback dominoes, make sure you you get a guy that you want, and the guy, maybe the guy you want, and then kind of build from there. And so while Clemson kind of has the background of being slower in recruiting, often they are ahead of the game in this regard. So they've made that push here in trying to get these two, one of their two quarterbacks. I think for a considerable while it looked like Trey Wright would be the one that kind of made the move first, and was feeling that push, I guess, so to speak. But I think they've, as they've kind of read about each other and read about how this is going, it's kind of helped expedite the process. And so I think to get ahead of that, Hawkins has set his decision for tomorrow. A final six that features, he's got an LSU offer. Duke really wanted him. Virginia Tech's in there. I think Vanderbilt and Kentucky rounded out that final six. Really, I think LSU was the school that also appealed to Hawkins. But we've profiled that Clemson is in strong spot here to fill their quarterback spot here. Later this evening, 6:30, he announces on the Rivals YouTube network. For the self plug, but a different kind of quarterback for Wright. But Clemson, there's a familiarity both with him. He's at Calhoun, that's much closer. They've signed three guys out of that program, a little less than a decade ago. They like a lot. You go back to the quarterback traits that you were talking last segment, and I think what really the first word I hear about Hawkins is poise. Like he's not necessarily a vocal, a huge presence in terms of personality, but just a calmness, a demeanor, a disposition that they like in how he handles pressure. A kid who led his team to a state championship as a high school freshman as a quarterback, does not throw a lot of interceptions. So a good decision maker, efficient type player. But they like the disposition, and a guy that if you can go ahead and get in the fold early because of regional proximity here, you'll have him on campus a lot, and you can kind of help build him and his relationship with other recruits for his class, with current players on the team. There are a lot of different benefits to having a guy like that already in the fold and close. So that's kind of all that kind of has weaved into Clemson's pursuit of Trace Hawkins.
Did Wright affect Hawkins' time frame? Did Clemson push harder? Was Wright not ready? Because a lot of, as you said all the time, a lot of, of who you get is timing of who you get. So let's talk about the timing aspect.
Well, I think they both pushed each other, and I think they were. Clemson tried to be as level as possible with each going. It's first come, first serve. I think Wright had expedited his thinking to the point where, all right, maybe he comes in and for that first home game in September, I don't think he was ready to pull the trigger right now because there are various components that go to these decisions, as far as, yes, you're picking your school, but I mean, for a lot of these guys, they don't have agents yet. They don't have numbers in mind for NIL and kind of done their homework for market. I mean, they're just coming out of their sophomore years. So I don't think that, I think a lot of those pieces have to be put in place. And I think Hawkins knew about Wright, and I think Wright knew about Hawkins, and I think Clemson was well aware that they both knew about each other. And we've written a lot lately that leverage is a powerful tool, and I think that just ended up manifesting in Hawkins deciding earlier, all right, Clemson is I'm ready to do this, and it's not just a reservation, that I am ready to end the recruiting now because I don't want to miss out on this spot.
Comps, you're always good at this, and it's not always easy, but is there, a fairly decent comp here?
Oh, that's a tough one. The guy that sticks out to me, and it's just because I've looked at him more recently, is Jaden Craig, who TCU brought in as their transfer from Harvard, who very productive kind of guy who's not, he doesn't blow, he's a 6'6", 6'1" kind of guy, 6'1", 190. I don't think Hawkins, going back to even what you were talking about with Sellers earlier, like, I don't think Hawkins is a natural runner. And you could even go back to Taj Boyd in that regard. I think he's more of a pocket guy, but someone who has the physical capabilities to run and be used in that regard. Like, I think he wants to be more of a pocket guy and see the field and be a thrower. So I don't think he's got, you know, he does not have what I would characterize as a cannon arm or a plus arm. I think he throws a really good deep ball, a good touch, can layer the ball different, you know. At high school, we talk about the difficulty in evaluating high school is there only so much that they're asked to do. There are a lot of things that we know to look for, but they're only put in so many different circumstances, and it, a lot depends on what they're asked to do as high school quarterbacks. So I think we can see the assets and what Clemson saw at camp, or affirmed at camp, you know, his accuracy, his touch, you know, a good deep ball thrower, you know, solid mechanics. Physically, he's put together pretty well at 6 foot and a half, 6'1", 190, 185, in that category. You know, and I think that they feel like he would just kind of fit right in, and just kind of be a calm presence back there, you know, whether they've got difficulties or not within a play.
Who knows about the rest of the class? And it's still early. We're talking about 2028 kids, and that's just difficult. I do think it's hard that you have to make your – you're forced to make your evaluations this early, and that yields more misses. We talked about in the last segment, like how easy it is to miss now. That, you know, the less info you have, the easier it is to miss. I get all that.
Yeah.
With that said, at this point, would you categorize four-star-ish, top 250-ish, or is that still to be determined?
I think it's still to be determined. I think he, you know, I think he is in that probably low four-star area of kind of your fringe top 300. And I think he's, but he could easily end up in the 200 to 300 category, and maybe he goes higher. I don't know. I don't think he is a mid three-star. I think he's better than that. Could you say right now high three-star until you get more information? Sure. But I think tools-wise, you look and go, all right, you know, like he's not going to blow anybody away with a physical asset in terms of, like, he's not your 6'3", 6'4", guy, not the strongest, you know, I won't say he does not have a weak arm, but he's not the strongest arm you will see within his peer group of those prospects. And I think what he does translates better on the field than in camp settings. So, like, I think he's probably fits in that low four-star kind of range, and you go from there.
All right, the place to follow, that time frame, anything else with the Williams, all that stuff, and then obviously follow next Thursday. Tell us about TigerIllustrated.com.
Certainly, a couple of decisions here over the next 48 hours that we'll continue to have coverage and information of. A lot of build-up to the kickoff to preseason camp next week, as well as, you know, hopefully, obviously, a lot of coverage from it. And as we continue to kind of look ahead to 2028 recruiting and the various pieces, you know, that Clemson is trying to put into place there, and lining up guys for visits for the first home game, for the Miami game in October, setting all that in order. We will turn the page largely to team coverage, but there's still little recruiting pieces out there that we are hitting on over these next days and weeks.
All right. I'll say this as we end. Some folks disgruntled by the state of either Clemson football or the college football world. That's great. But August 1st is this weekend. It's go ahead and time. Let's go ahead and get excited about it, and let's get our subscription to Tiger Illustrated caught back up and renewed and take care of business there. So can't wait, man. I'll not only talk to you next week, but I'll see you next week.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Look forward to it.
Thank you, Paul Strelo, TigerIllustrated.com. I'm humbled that he listened to the segment before that. How about that? When we come back, open phone lines for the rest of the show. Love to hear from you right after this.
Upset you missed a show today? No problem. We've got you covered with every hour of every show on our podcast page at theroarfm.com.
Touchdown!
And on the Roar app. Download it today.
I want to speak to you builders out there now, you contractors out there now, even your architects out there now. You know, the more product and the better products you can offer your clients, the better for your business. And if you've not been a metal roof builder in the past, or if you've not been a metal roof architect in the past or contractor in the past, well, let's just sit down. Let's have a sit down with Best Buy Metals. And let's learn more about their new products and more about those shingles and metal shingles and the metal roofs and how all that works and lifetime warranty and the low maintenance and advantage you can offer. And it's just one more tool in your tool bag, one more thing you can offer. So let's start a relationship. If you don't have a relationship right now as a builder with Best Buy Metals, let's start one. And I guarantee you're going to like these people and like these products. And let's see if we can maybe add something to your repertoire. It's our great friends over at Best Buy Metals. Check them out. It's bestbuymetalroofing.com.
From the locker room to your living room.
A lot of guys don't play good.
Sports talk is on the Roar.
At Lake Kiwi Ford and Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we offer transparent pricing.
Hey, the AD that's signing that, the president or the board is signing that, they're not going to be the board forever. They're going to do it now. Why save the money for the next guy? Or why try to make money for the next guy? I'm going to do it now. I hate that hedonistic attitude. I can't do my family that way. We save money. We invest. We're all about the future type stuff. With that said, he made a very good point. Like, what are you really selling? And I was like, we're selling access, not access, but you're selling like decisions. Like, they're going to lay people off. Private equity groups are going to come in and lay off athletic department employees. And you're selling that. But it's like, in the end, you got your football team and your basketball team and your helmets and your logos and your stadiums. That's who you really are now anyway. And I hate that, but it's a pretty good point. Mm-hmm. To me, there is not a family on earth that you couldn't sit down with. Most, you can sit down and explain to people in your family finances, here are the benefits of saving, and here are the downfalls of now, right? And yet, athletic departments and the people we look up to and the people we idolize we get fanatical about, that's what they're doing. It's now, and I got to have money now, and who cares about the future? Who cares what I'm giving up? I'm going to do it now. I just don't. That's so against my nature.
Yeah. It's an instant gratification thing that it's everywhere in life. You know, I think especially with the social media, and, you know, if I wanted to, I could order food any time of day, whenever, from my phone and not move a step. You know, I think that's kind of permeated our culture. And with college athletics, it's even more so now than ever.
I hate to go down this road right now.
We can make it a short road. We can make it a little bypass.
If you, in Scripture, one of the most important things I've learned is, like, the value. I wouldn't understand. Why would you sacrifice your first son? Why would you sacrifice the sacrificial lamb? Like, what is it about giving and a sacrifice? And in the end, I heard this great podcast talking about the other day. It's like, well, the ultimate sacrifice is the guy that didn't do anything wrong, didn't deserve anything, sacrificed his life for you and your salvation through all that. So, but anyway, the point is, like, it's the value in that you're giving something up for something better in the future. And yet, as athletic departments across the world, we completely just ignore that? We just completely say, oh, yeah, that value. And yet we're going to try to teach our student athletes, you need to sacrifice on the field. You need to invest in the weight room. You need to invest in your what kind of father and husband and mother and wife you're going to be by going out and learning these values that we're going to teach you and these lifelong skills. I'm like, wait a minute, you're not doing that at the highest level right now. Maybe that's a big jump. I don't know. I just don't understand how good, solid decision makers who got to the point where they could be athletic directors and college presidents and on board of trustees at schools can make a decision that, nah, we're going to do this now. I just don't understand. I have a hard time comprehending that.
Because it's a slippery slope like everything else is. That's how you ended up with, I mean, a lot of the stuff that's going on right now that we talk about on a daily basis that we don't love. You know, it's one thing after another after another. But at this point in time, with this thing in particular, like, it's just another way that schools that don't conform are going to get left behind. And that's kind of a fear tactic that...
It is a scare tactic. So you're 100% right.
It's a fear tactic.
Yep.
It's a scare tactic.
Right. That's right. 100%.
And that's what's happened over the last few years.
I hate that. We've missed the boat there. Any thoughts about the Tennessee $400 flight linebacker? Did y'all see the story?
All right, so tell me this. He was going to train for the draft. Is that what it was?
Yes. That's the way I understand it, yes.
And it was money from Tennessee.
Let me make sure of that, because this is one of those I'll kind of want to be careful. All right, here's what this is what Mark Slaboss says.
All right.
And Tennessee suspended linebacker Aaron Carter for the first time, or the NCAA suspended Tennessee linebacker Aaron Carter for the first two games of the season, accepting a $420 flight from an agent after he declared for the NFL draft. Carter, senior from Smyrna, Tennessee, played through a foot injury last year. After being declared for the draft, he aggravated the injury and needed surgery and ultimately decided to return to Tennessee for another season. You can do that. You can enter, try to, you know, I'm going to the draft, but then you get hurt and you go, okay, I'm not going to the draft. There's a date near which you can say you're coming back from.
But it's because he took the $400 from the agent.
From the agent. To me, and it's not $400, it's the source of the $400.
This is not a big deal.
But, how can we say that you can have an agent for your college career, but you can't have an agent if you're thinking about the NFL career? Because they all have agents now.
Yeah.
And we're going to tell guys, you can sign with an agent in college, and he can be your college agent. But if he's your professional agent, then we're going to suspend you. Like, that's a hard sell.
That's ridiculous. Especially when, like, the NCAA was going to let other things slide. Yeah. With their decision making recently, like, this is what y'all are worried about? Really?
The NCAA statement says the NCAA rules are clear. Student athletes may not sign with agents to pursue NFL draft opportunities, and student athletes knowingly violated the longstanding rules. When a student athlete violates the NCAA rule, the school declares them ineligible and works with the national office to talk about their reinstatement.
Look, make them get back the $400, call it square. But if you're in a position where at that time you're saying, I'm not coming back to college, I'm going to get drafted.
Yeah. Yeah.
At that point, it's fair game.
Yeah.
Right? And if you come back, just get back the money and it's fine.
Yeah.
You don't need to get suspended.
Peel back your $950,000 NIL deal to get the guy $427 back.
Like, come on.
Yeah,
I know who suspended him wasn't turning down that free ticket with the price of flights. How about
good
that?
Good point. Very good point.
That's the truth.
Very good point.
Yeah, I don't get that.
It's just hypocritical, and it's, I get it, it's the timing of it and all that, but that's just a different deal there. All right, we got to take a break. Final break, final segment. Phone calls or texts, lead us in that direction. We kind of got to open and by the way, he did pay it back, as agent said. He did pay it back. And that's why he's only suspended two games. All right, but let's know. I'll get you two guys aside. Final segment, topics, you come back right after this.
Fan base. One unforgettable tradition begins. Clemson takes on Georgia Southern in the 2026 home opener. And every section has a color. Orange, white, purple. Introducing Stripe the Valley. Find your section, wear your color, and be a part of history. Get your tickets today at ClemsonTigers.com/tickets, and let's stripe the valley.
Elkmont Trading Company. Get in touch with them. Go by 93 and 123 here in Clemson. Let's get ready. The calendar's going to turn over to August, and what you're going to notice there is game day apparel. It's going to be flying off the shelves. We're going to get ready for college football season. Elkmont's got their own game day brand and logo. It looks great. Do that. My wife informs me that there's a big sale going on and a lot of big sale items going on over there, so we might go to Elmont this weekend. We love it. It's something for everyone. So when it comes to those name brands, and let me just quickly just fly through some of those. When I think of Elkmont, I think of On Running Shoes. When I think of Elkmont, I think of Z Supply. When I think of Elkmont, I think of Free Fly. I think of Vuori. And it's just up and down all those great ones, the L.L. Bean, you know, the Maui Gyms, the Poncho Outdoors, the Patagonia, the Columbia, the Costa, the Birkenstock. They've got them all. You're going to love it. Elkmont Trading Company, 93 and 123 in Clemson.
The games may end, but the opinions never stop.
You're totally off base on this.
Right. I'll answer the call. Don't
all
worry.
Right. All right. I'll allow that. My great friends at Trail are ready as well, T-R-E-H-E-O.com. Trail, one of the cool things about Trail is they can come in the middle or the end of a project and still have an impact. There was a local church that was $1 million over budget, and Trail came in and saved the project. That's not typical all the time, of saving $1 million on a thing, but depending on the size and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, they got it back on track there. However, to take advantage of the full experience, call them first, and let's just have the conversation. Schedule a discovery session and find out why Trail's leading commercial builder north of South Carolina and the better building process is going to yield on time and on budget every single time. It's our great friends at Trail, T-R-E-H-E-O.com, 800-319-7006. Texture says, this is from Bradley and Easley. What's up, Mickey? Last time I heard from you was the day you had Sammy Brown and your niece on at Arthrex. Never heard any updates on how she played in Tennessee, but loved the show, Bradley. Oh, you hadn't heard? She won?
She did?
Thanks, Bradley. Yeah, she won the Tennessee Open.
Let's go.
And she beat a girl that played at the University of Texas. And so I told her, she's choosing Tennessee. There you go. Tennessee Open champion.
That's huge.
Isabella Rawl, yeah. And it might be her last. There were pros, it's open, pros and amateurs in the event. And the girl she ended up beating there was a professional. But might be her last amateur event because she's going to try to go to Q school and see how that works out. But
good for her, man. That's
winner,
amazing.
Bradley says, love it. Yeah, winner of the Tennessee Open. Good stuff. All right, I said you two monkeys, you two clowns could pick out the final topic, but instead I'm going to let Chad in Columbia, single game season. Chad, good morning, Chad. How you doing?
It's hilarious. You're playing, I didn't even know the band. I've heard the songs that y'all played in the last two segments, but Pearl Jam. So I've heard them, but I mean, it's so bad with music. I don't even know who it was. But
really?
Anyways, Mick, you've talked about art class, math class before, which is just so intriguing to me.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, like, national talk, like, hey, does Dabo still have a SAS ball? Like, is this a big year for Dabo, like, with the downtrend? What do you think the math class has to look like for, the fan base and the administration to still be behind Dabo at the end of this year? And what do you think the art class has to look like? Or does it matter with both? I want to get your thoughts on those two things. Because to me, the worst case scenario would be if we're really bad at QB and struggle on offense again, and if Reynolds doesn't look good either, right? So, like, there's no hope at QB at all on campus. Like, that would be bad for the future. But on the same token, from an arts class standpoint, if you lose four or five games, but Reynolds comes in late and looks really, really good, and recruiting's maybe a little bit better than it has been the last three or four years, that could change the narrative around, campus as well. So I want to get your thoughts on those two things. Like, what does really good look like for you from an art and math class? And then what is really bad where maybe changes happen? What are your thoughts on that? Hang a blessing.
All right. I love it. I love the conversation. This is why this football season at Clemson is fascinating. Not preseason top five, not preseason number one, not Trevor and Deshaun and Christian Wilkins, and not national championship caliber, but in many ways even more fascinating because where this thing's going to go. And I don't think it's going to be the referendum on Dabo and his future like some. I could see a scenario where it goes really bad. He's not coaching here next year, but that's a whole different set there. This is so complicated and it's so multifaceted that there's not an easy answer in it. The reason I always say it's an art class this year rather than a math class is 8-4 or 6-6 or 10-2 can look different. A 6-6 in which Reynolds comes in and wins the last five games of the year at quarterback, and you destroy South Carolina, and you go in this big role, and you've got this, oh, here's your future kind of a thing, helps. Clemson's recruiting class now gives you a little bit of that equity build up and that little bit of a safety net at the bottom because they're recruiting again and they're paying better, you know, playing players more money, so you're kind of like competitive there. Going in the transfer portal, that's fascinating to me because Tom Allen did it on defense, and so what if, like, there's a good news, bad news there. What if the defense is so stinking good this year and the secondary is great, and you can say, well, you should have done that on offense because the offense stunk. So, but what if Fasina's good and he looks really good, and then Dabo can come back and say, I tried to tell you, Fasina, everybody else told me how to take a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So there's all these there's all these facets and all these scenarios, good, bad. I don't know. I don't think. I mean, an 0-12 or a 4-8 or something like that, that wouldn't be survivable, but. There are two types of, or actually probably more than two types, of 6-6s. There's two types of 7-5, two types of 8-4s, two types of 9-3s. And a lot of it, I've said this many, many times now, that one of the things is they always remember November. Well, what if Fasina gets hurt against LSU or in the preseason camp and Reynolds struggles, and then in middle of October, Fasina comes back and he looks like he's on fire, and you go on this big run and say, man, we were, and he comes back next year and say, well, we were 1-5, but then Vecina got healthy, and now we went on a big run, and now we beat South Carolina 43-12, and we beat Georgia Tech, and we ran the table, and in the bowl game he looked good. So there's all of that out there, and I think that one thing we learned last year, preseason number 4 and going 7-6, that like all this is on the table, mm-hmm. and it's fascinating to watch, and I one thing I do know is going to happen, I wish wouldn't happen, is that those, Dabo included, that if it goes really, really well, you will shove that in people's face and go, I tried to tell you I was right. And the Dabo supporters, the Sunshine Pumpers, would say, we tried to tell y'all, trust the coach, he was right. And on the other side, if it doesn't work, then the anti-Dabo people would try to, we tried to tell you I was right. And here's the thing, if you're a Clemson fan, being right is not the most important thing. I don't have a desire to, I'm not tied to being right all the time. The fact is that, like, let's get the thing done, and no matter how it gets done. I don't care if you run the wishbone and you switch to the wishbone in October. I don't care if you don't throw a single pass all year or if you aired out every play, if you had to win 62-61 or win 10-7. Just win, show signs, give me hope. The recruiting class is better. Hey, here's one thing, you think about it. What if both quarterbacks aren't very good and Dabo's got announced on November 29th, we're actively in the portal for a quarterback and we're going to pay $10 million for a quarterback, then you feel different about the season then. Mm-hmm. So even what you would say would be the parameters on the math part of it or the idea of the art class part of it, even those aren't clearly defined because there's so many things that can play out. And what we learned last year is that when you go through a season, preseason number 4, you didn't consider Syracuse, SMU, and Duke at home. Those weren't even on the table. Well, the lesson learned is everything's on the table. And right now, like, I feel really good about Wesco and more. I felt good about Wesco last year, and he gets hurt. So more than any other time in any other sport, any other, like, there's just so many different scenarios that can play out. And how it does and what it does, it's just tough. I don't know. I know that the fan base likes him. I know the fan base wants him to be around. I also know the fan base wants to win and doesn't want to sit back and watch the thing deteriorate. The hope, that you have to have hope. Is it unsalvageable in November? Or is it, man, we can build on this, right? I don't think 27 or 26. I don't think 26 is the make or break end all say all.
No.
But I do think that on November the 29th, the day after the South Carolina game, I need to have hope that it's going to be okay. And that is to be determined how, what math and what art has to do, and who and why, all that. But in the end, I need to have hope on November 29th when the regular season's over.
Yep. It is an art form in that you can have that hope in a lot of different ways, whether that's the quarterback situation, whether that's you get, you know, a big upset win somewhere, whether that's looking forward with the transfer portal. There's a lot of different ways to feel hope through art. But at the end of the day, the numbers of we won the games that we're supposed to, maybe we upset somebody, that's what's going to give you hope more than anything else.
Let me say that. By the way, it's Brad. He is all set, 292-3001. Brad, he's at allset.com. Brad, he's insurance.com. Better coverage, better rates. Thanks to Brad. He's Brad, and we're texting back and forth the other day, and he's out of town. But I want to tell you, that staff over there, man, that's getting it done. Do that for sure. Get in touch with Brad. He's at allset.com. Let me say this. To that point, though, in beating who you're supposed to beat or whatever, those quarterbacks and that, all right, let me say this. If the defense, if Clemson won a bunch of 10-7 games, at the end of it, you'd have hope, man, defense is back, and we're great, and we won 10 games, and we're only scoring 21 points a game, then everything's out the window on offense too. Or if you had to win everything and the defense stunk, and the offense goes to outscore people, like that feels different too. And so it's not just that number. You could go 10-2 with a great defense and a terrible offense, or vice versa, and it just feels differently of going into the offseason through all that.
It feels a lot better going into a 10-2 if regardless.
Man, we got to take a break. I mean, we'll get top of the hour here. But let me say this. Eric Newton, for all real sitting easy. Sorry to get the music on. But let me say this. If they go 10-2 and everybody's satisfied with that, but the offense just looked stumbling and not great. Well, Chad Morris in trouble. You got to restart all over. I don't know what the quarterback's going to be. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, we got a topic for tomorrow then. Yeah, if you can't go by an average 258 yards a game and score 20 points a game and go 10-2 and say, oh, man, everything's great, because it wouldn't be great. What if you couldn't throw it? What if you couldn't run? I've seen that before. I've seen bad football that way before. Avery great. Ashby great.
We'll chat tomorrow.
Absolutely. Great topic tomorrow. You don't want to miss that.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHD-AM 1560. Cowpens 97.